All right, welcome to another episode of Giving Podcast, a very delicious edition of the podcast. That's right. I'm saying the stupid puns. Sammy, how are you doing? Let's just get through our intros really quickly so that we don't, because we have something special going on. Sammy, how are you? One sentence, go.
Pretty good. Finished Hellblade. Excited for two.
You could go longer than that's okay. I'm clearly joking.
But yeah, no, good. I'm excited for everything we're talking about today. I'm excited to try the McRib for the first time, and we'll see how that goes.
This spoils it. Like, wow. Oh my God.
I mean, never mind.
McRuined.
McRuined.
We can restart. It's fine.
No, we're doing this live, not live. That's too bad. But how was Hellblade for you, though?
It was really good. The story got really dark, and then figuring out exactly what was real and like what was representing, like what it was a wild ride. Right. The puzzles were actually really fun. I didn't know it was going to be like that puzzle heavy, but I was actually really happy that it was.
Yeah.
But like you guys were saying in previous podcasts, the freaking fighting definitely clunky. And Am I allowed to talk spoilers? Yeah. It's been out for
a bajillion years. You're fine.
Like, I made it through like 16 waves right at the end until I realized I had to lose. And I was just like, oh, okay. I guess I just die.
I remember this one. I remember that scene. I did the same thing too. I'm like, damn, they're just relentless. Just keep going and going. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I had to listen to the voices telling me to let go. And I was like, all right, fine.
You just refuse. You're just like, I'm not letting go. I don't care what you
gotta do it.
Steve Saylor, how are you doing? Steve Saylor on location.
Yeah, I'm on location. I'm staying at my sister's place, dog sitting for her while she's out in Putacana. So
I'll be there.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, tell her I said that.
You're in Jim Ryan's bunker. You're hunkered down in Jim Ryan's bunker waiting for
you really think that Jim Ryan would have a picture of Kramer on the wall?
Yes.
Maybe.
I mean, to be honest.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Is he supposed to retire soon anyway?
I think he's gone already.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Is he gone now at this point? I don't know.
April?
Oh, did they say April? They did give a date.
He's probably not even sure enough. He's probably using like his old
retire
like,
day.
Sick days and PTO days.
He will retire in March.
I would.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, March. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well. Anyway. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Stevie, hey, how about you, man? The champion, Stevie.
Marcel, I'm doing very well. Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Please refer to me and Riley, respectively, as champion this entire episode. Because
undefeated, humbly undefeated.
Don't worry about everything else. Don't worry about the surrounding games. Just worry about the undefeated ones. But I'm doing very well. Thank you, Marcel.
Yep. They're the undefeated asterisks, just so you know. All right. But Riley, how about yourself? Oh, sorry, doing champion well. Riley as well. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I didn't want to, you know, I'm not too proper about the title, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
Let's not like explode his
head. We love a humble winner around here.
I love the formality. So, yeah, if everyone else wants to join in, I understand. But
did we give context or did we just just call them champion? No context.
Steve and I went undefeated in beer pong for two of the last four games. So we're undefeated and it was incredible.
Key word there, two last four games you went undefeated, meaning you had to lose.
Yeah,
other
we
games.
Went undefeated.
You lost.
No, other well, we games. Went undefeated for the last two of four games, so it was pretty incredible.
As he casually just eats his fries, part of his McRib combo.
There you go. And
that's a winner's meal, Camille. That's a winner's meal.
You wouldn't know.
Camille, how are you doing?
Give me my belt.
I just feel like next podcast we're going to see Riley with like two belts and like
he has two belts.
He has them.
He's going to just like it's just going to be like him sitting there
and like stance on us.
You're giving him ideas. Like, he's looking for it right now.
Next podcast.
It might happen right now. He's looking.
I'm pretty sure he does it every day. Like he just sits there to like be like, yeah, I am the best. Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm so sad that I missed out on all the wrestling fun. Also, I feel like I'm missing out on this McRib thing because I never got on that train. I don't know if I'm going to try it. Still need to be convinced.
I don't even know why you're here at this point. Like,
well, wow.
No McRib, no belt. Like, what?
There it is. There it is.
And look what you did. Look what you How's started. How's that shoulder?
It's a little sore, to be honest.
The real question. Pretty heavy. The real question is, how's your
carrying
back?
All these belts. How's
your back, Steve, from the carrying you were doing for Riley? That's all I gotta say.
Sorry, I came in clutch.
Well, you're only strongest as your weakest link. We won. I mean, that's just it. Like we won as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
My W is Riley's W. That's that's all I got to say.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure that's what LeBron
it's
says.
It's like the
well.
W
yeah.
on my belt.
Or,
oh my gosh.
Or M for mediocre. One of the two.
Damn.
It's not M for Marcel because he didn't win.
Wow, all right. You know what? Riley, if you didn't have Steve, you would still be shooting and missing air balls all day. That's all I got to say.
I agree to disagree.
Anyway, you know what? I'm upset. It's time for a McRib. Ladies and gentlemen, the McRib. It's finally here.
Not sponsored.
But McDonald's, it's time for you to hit us up here.
Not yet.
Soon to be sponsored here.
Are those pickles on it? Like, what is that?
There are pickles on it.
Why? Why would you have pickles with a rib?
Just so you know, I took the pickles off of mine.
I do too, but
I asked for mine without the pickles, so mine's a non-pickle edition. Of course
you never had barbecue with pickles?
No!
I'm not a pickle fan anyway.
Two picks?
In sandwiches.
What's the pickle count on everyone's?
I got two.
I have no idea.
What's the pickle sauciness? This is very interesting.
I got two pickles.
I got two pickles too.
I got a lot of sauce on one end. I'm not going to lie.
Onion.
I got a lot of sauce on one end.
They don't use the cut up onions that they use on Big Macs. This just feels like. How many?
That's onions right there. Yeah, that one right there.
Oh, look, I feel like, Marcel's camera was trying to blur it out. Like, this is not safe for work.
McDonald's, they're listening. Yeah. They're in the back. They're like, hey, cut that out right now.
Welcome to our move
expose the McRib.
Yeah. Is it your side right, heavily, try it.
This is my first time trying it. So here we go.
Are we taking a bite?
Yeah, let's take a bite.
All right, let's go.
Well.
Okay, I really want to hear, because I know how Steve, V, Riley, and Marcel feel, but Sam, you never had a McRib before, right?
Yeah,
so I need to hear what you and Steve Saylor feel, because like this doesn't look appetizing to me.
So the barbecue sauce itself, they've definitely used on other products, so yes. That's familiar tasting.
Mm-hmm. Is it like the barbecue mm-hmm. sauce dip for nuggies?
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's not horrible. I think I would probably still prefer, I like a quarter pounder a lot, so I think I would still prefer that, but it's edible. I'll finish it.
I love to have this with lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not bad. It's not the best ribs I've ever had.
I feel like this is, like, just bringing down the hype of the McRib being back, like, just tenfold. It's not bad. I mean,
there's nothing we can say that'll make people not get it.
I will say this. I mean, it's the actual rib part of the McRib is kind of overpowered by the barbecue sauce and everything else,
and the mm-hmm. onion.
So the actual meat itself isn't really substantial. So to me, like it has to be a good ratio of meat with sauce, and it just seems like the sauce is overpowering the meat.
Yeah,
100%.
For me, I had a sauce on all one side, and the other side didn't even have any sauce.
So, I mean, it's fine. I'm going to finish it, but I'll probably...
Like a 6.5 or 7 out of 10?
Yeah, I'd be on the same. Probably about a 7.
Right. Yeah, that's a firm 7.
Mm-hmm. A firm 7.
Mm-hmm. Not enough pickles.
There's more like
two pickles.
Yeah,
kinda,
I think
we
need to go deeper on the pickles.
Steve, I thought you've had it before, Stevie.
Yeah.
He's just critiquing.
I'm on 8.
I have. I don't remember it that much, though.
So you're saying the
it's
old
It's been,
McRib.
What, like 10 years since Canada's had it?
So the old McRib is better than the new McRib. They forgot how to McRib it.
Or, you know, nostalgia did its nostalgia thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what was over here got
put into glasses,
here.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember when they had
the thing is like, it's weird to kind of, like, to talk about. It's not really a rib. Yeah. It's a patty.
Yeah.
It's a pork patty. You're like, basically, yeah. That's what it is.
Just shape as a rib.
Yeah.
Basically. It is a lot of onions, though.
It is a lot of onions, yeah.
I love onions, though.
Yeah.
Would you eat an onion like an apple, though?
I may be the next track. I really love onions.
Dude, Kim Kardashian's daughter does that, like literally eats onions like apples. It was on like 30
minutes. Did she get the idea from the Grinch or?
Wasn't that a challenge like way back?
I wouldn't be surprised.
The onion challenge? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Onion challenge?
Try not to cry.
Like the movie Holes when they find the onion.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Just mow and onions.
You know what it was? There was like this fairy tale, like it was a Disney cartoon or like Disney-esque cartoon. I can't even remember what it is, but
was it Disney's Holes?
No. They eat radishes. The princess eats radishes. And like for some reason I've always wanted to eat a radish like that, like just off like the stem. It's like the family goes digging in the radish fields or something, and then the princess.
That sounds exactly like Disney's Holes. Have you heard of that?
What's the madam's name again in that movie?
Madam Holes?
Zero?
Madam Holes.
That's weird.
Madam Holes. Her name was Shia LaBeouf. That was it.
So video games.
Yeah.
Right?
Love those stuff.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, you know? Video games. What about
him? McItis. I'm getting the McItis now. I'm going to see, you know. All right. Well, we just finished watching the State of Play. Overall thoughts, Sammy, you'll kick us off. What's your overall feeling? And we'll go one by one on what we saw and everything. What is your general feeling?
I mean, I think that was a pretty solid presentation. It had some highs. It didn't have, like, some of them weren't as exciting, or at least I wasn't interested in all the different genres, but I'm sure for different people, they'll get hyped up for, like, some of the more like Japanese fighting games, but super excited for essentially like PT the game, which I've been wanting forever. So super excited about that. And yeah, I think that was really solid, really fun. I already forgot what other games were there because I got so distracted and excited by like the last couple. Did you watch it, Camille?
Yeah,
you didn't want to watch it with us.
Camille was doing her own live reaction.
I had to react to it for something else, but Columbia Pictures.
But you did lose a bet, though.
I know. No Spider-Man. No what? Spider-Man. Wait.
No.
Said that at all.
Yeah. That's really
that makes me.
Oh my god.
Here we go again. Steve Saylor, what are your overall thoughts on it, though? We were just going one by one on everyone's thoughts, and then we'll dive deep into it.
I mean, there's definitely something in there for everyone. It didn't, you know, really blow my socks off in a huge way. There's like some pops in there that I kind of like. I mean, Death Stranding looks pretty wild. I'll give it that. That's kind of, I guess, the biggest sort of news of the show. But yeah, you know, it was okay.
All right, Steve V.
Yeah, it's weird. If this came out first, and this isn't like an Xbox versus PlayStation kind of argument, but if State of Play happened before the recent Developer Direct, I would have probably said, oh, this is like a fine 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. But just seeing this in comparison to the Developer Direct, which I think had incredible pacing and incredible time to like dive into each game and kind of, you know, detail each one and kind of get its hype and lay out a roadmap, I think this one just kind of failed in that regard, only because some of the pacing just didn't really line up. Some of the trailers, and we'll get into each individual one, just didn't really capture my attention, even ones that I was like very looking forward to. But that being said, it went from like a 6 all the way to an 8 as soon as Kojima came out. And that's coming from a Kojima stan myself. But that's the kind of hype that he brings. That's the kind of like excitement you just have when you see, you know, the Death Stranding logo or so, you know, a Kojima project is there. It just bumps it up a couple levels. And then, yeah, at the end when, you know, he's kind of talking about, oh, we're talking about a fourth game. I'm like, all right, man, Let's settle down.
One at a time, please.
Yeah, like let's relax. Let's chill out, bro.
An Xbox project.
Yeah, it's like, all right, cool. Let's deliver on one of these. Whoa.
That's what your reaction was when he mentioned another game that's specifically espionage?
Yeah, I'm more interested in, we'll get into it, but I'm interested in the thing we just saw. Like, I'm hyped as hell. I didn't need any more than that. But yeah, that I wish this was Death Stranding, the state of play. Everything else could have been a blog post.
Oh.
I mean, okay, well, we'll dive into it. Because, like, there's some stuff we were like, but then we saw a certain skeleton go through a table. And I was like, all right, wait a minute. I'm back into this game and everything.
Very fair.
Yeah, Marcel was super into that. He's like, he rock bottom him through a table.
Riley, what were your thoughts about it?
I liked it. I really liked it. I think that they showed a good range of games. I think that that campfire game that we saw, Judas, is going to be incredible. Yeah. I think that's going to be fantastic. I think the one thing that we're all kind of missing now, and we got it in the early days with some of the reveals for the PS5, we're not really getting, they're not really touching legacy IP. You know, like we're seeing, we have an Uncharted movie, we have a Twisted Metal show. Like, I kind of want to see more of the established properties now, because I think there's a desire to see some of those return. But outside of that, like, Hideo Kojima doesn't miss. Like, that's always exciting. The trailer and the footage they showed for that game looks incredible. Like, it's even beyond what I thought it would be. And I already was like, oh, this will be nuts. So I'm pretty excited for that. Having a game to look forward to 10 years from now from him is also cool, but
he said two years. Give the man.
It'll be out in 2 years.
I thought he said a movie was coming out in 2 years.
He said
no. He said two years after Death Stranding 2.
No, he said his 40th anniversary for game development is in 2 years, and he believes that this game will represent that. Which is
Do you think he's going to get Death Stranding 2 out next year, and then the Xbox game, and then this other game?
No, I think the Xbox
music production. Like, I don't think so.
I'm hoping.
I would like to, but I would like to believe, but I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah, Mel, what was your reactions?
Well, apparently, I was the only one really excited about this. I thought they showed, like, obviously, I'm a Kojima stan, and, you know, we'll get into that argument later. I'm coming for y'all. But I do think they showed some great game. Like, Judas looks amazing. Stellar Blade looks very good. Like, I feel like I want to play that game, but I also feel like I may be cheating on Final Fantasy VII if I play that game. But then it does look kind of better than it. So there's that, and then, like, you have, like, games like Rise of the Ronin, and, like, that looks like Ghost, but, like, so much versatility on how you go into combat, which gets me excited about as well. I think what I was mostly missing and a bit disappointed with this showcase is dates. Like, there were a lot of in development for PlayStation 5. There was a lot of coming sometime. No dates. I think, like, what a lot of fans of PlayStation was looking for this state of play is what can we expect in the near future on the PlayStation 5 that is going to get us really hyped. And, you know, to your point, Riley, I think it is, they are in this in between where we're not seeing those legacy games. And although I think that definitely sucks for the mass audience that maybe just buy a PlayStation console to just play those games, I do think that's okay. Like, those studios, they put out some work. I would rather them take their time to cook and, like, make a better quality game. I think this is just a lull, especially because, you know, we're not developers. We don't know behind the scenes how they were handling the studios during COVID. So coming out of that, like, and maybe just because we're in the industry, like, I kind of expected coming out of COVID in the next couple of years, there will be, like, a lull of projects because they were working on these great projects that came out 2023, 2020, you know, like 2024. So I think we're in that mode right now, but we haven't adjusted to being in that right now.
Yeah. For me, like, I the showcase was great, just seeing, like, so it was great to see new games and everything, but then I put myself in the head of, okay, like, I don't own a PlayStation, and, like, I want you to, like, win me over or to convince me why I should get a PlayStation. And I feel like a lot of these, like, games coming out, I'm like, well, the PC version is coming out, or this is a multi-platform, you know, game. And like, there's nothing here that I've really saw that I'd be like, oh, I have to get a PlayStation to get to experience this.
But to be honest, it's like, if you're not convinced by now to be able to get a PS5 out of the games that have been released over the past 3 years, there's nothing that's going to be able to convince you to be able to buy it now.
No, you know, you have, that's a fair point and everything.
But the legacy games.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, the legacy games are that. Like, for example, like Nintendo, I know I'm getting Zelda and Mario, you know, or like Pikmin or something like that. And like, with like Xbox, yeah, it is Xbox. I always found Xbox was always like a PC experience as well. Because, you know, you need a PC, and who owns PCs? Microsoft, you know. So those two kind of go hand in hand. But with like PlayStation, like, who do they have like that you don't like, that's like exclusively on that console as well? So I don't know. Like, overall, like, the show was, I found the show was very solid. It did have like a some of a slow start and everything. Like the stellar blade, like I mentioned, reminded me of Bright Memory, and I was like, is this like the same girl? And like, I can't really tell the difference between the two, so that one didn't really wow me over. But was that the first one we saw? No, Helldivers. What am I talking about?
Helldivers.
Game of the Year. Stevie's Game of the Year. Dive into Hell. What are your thoughts on it, Steve?
I mean, thankfully they didn't spend too much time on it. I think it was enough time to just say, hey, you know, here's some snippets, here's some action. You're playing with your friends. Jump in 8 days. That's all we needed to know. I don't think that they needed to, you know, drive home the point of like gameplay mechanics, stuff like that. Like, if you're not sold on Helldivers, you're missing out for one. But if you're not, you're probably just not going to end up picking it up anyways. It's a little unfortunate that this is a second party full investment from PlayStation, and it still is one of those. It just doesn't feel like it's given its due, so to speak. But that being said, I think it looks solid just based on my personal preferences. I'm excited to jump in, but I was glad that we didn't spend, you know, five minutes with a voiceover and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just want to confirm, it is a $50 game as well. So
cool.
That was something we were discussing about, but go ahead, Camille.
When I was streaming, like, there was someone that commented, it looks like a PlayStation Plus game, so they don't know the hype around Helldivers. But I think that is very fair to say. It does have that kind of, like, Metro vibe, that feel of, like, okay, this is kind of like their game that they release in between, you know, the legacy games that may be great, but it's, like, a hidden gem for, like, core PlayStation fans. So I think, like, they allotted the right amount of time, and it was just weird to me that they opened with that. But hey, made people happy.
I mean, it is coming out next week, so they're like, hey, just a little reminder. What Steve said, they really spent like, it was like 40 seconds on it, really. Like, even with the talking part, I'm like, oh, that's it. All right, on to the next, which was Stellar Blade, which is coming out. By the way, that one's coming out February 8th. Stellar Blade is coming out April 26th. Anyone want to take this one? Anyone feeling stellar?
Stellar, I am actually a lot. Like, I like the whole design of all the characters in the world of, like, I think it's for a specific audience. Like, okay. And it's reminding me of Final Fantasy VII. And the thing is, it's like, it looks a little better in combat. But I think it's like what Final Fantasy VII has in nostalgia that will definitely draw in that audience may not quite understand Stellar Blade. So I feel like it's something like for a specific niche audience that will appreciate, but I want to test it out. It looks good.
All right. After that was Sonic Cross Shadow. Everyone thought it was a Sonic Generations and just going to throw in Shadow, but it looks like is this focusing on levels that featured Shadow the Hedgehog and their crossover from Sonic Adventure 2. Riley, you know, you were showing some interest in this, I believe. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty excited for it. Like, Sonic Generations, I think, is one of the better platforming endeavors from the Sonic side. So to see it brought back is cool, and then to have additional content through in the form of Shadow. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they're going to try to tie into Sonic the Hedgehog 3, because spoiler, Shadow is going to show up in that. It's cool, and I'm glad that they're revisiting some of the bad guys from Shadow the Hedgehog were showing up, which is like kind of ignored by Sega generally. So it's kind of cool to see it brought back in a slightly different way, less guns, unfortunately. But
you don't think the gun's going to show up?
No,
maybe. I don't. I doubt it.
They're not
going to
bring the guns. I don't think they're over the guns.
Yeah, I agree with Camille. I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm excited for that. I think it'll be cool. And I'm excited to see kind of what platforms it ends up being on.
Yeah, I feel like this definitely would be on the Switch, right?
I don't see why not. I know right now they confirm PS5 and PS4. So
okay, so I'm seeing Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch, and all Steam, and Epic Game Store. So
yeah,
looks like it's pretty well done.
Switch is probably going to be the platform I play this on. Like, I'm going to want to play this on the go, like, or like, you know, curled up on my couch.
Is this on both Switches though, or this is autumn?
Yeah. I don't know.
Cross-platform.
Probably.
Cross-platform right here.
I think, like, as soon as I saw, like, that hill, I started singing. Rolling around. I was going for it.
Yeah.
I was going for it. Yeah. I'm excited.
Pretty dope.
I was going for it.
Foam Stars February 6th. Coming out. None of you, like, was there, like, a beta or, like, a online beta for this? Came out. I played at PAX West, and it was a good game. I had a good time for the time I played for it, but
I feel like it's one of those games like the internet really needs to like push that one to make it successful. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. There's like, going to be like a dedicated fan base that champions this game. Otherwise, it's not going to be Square Enix that does it. It's going to be the community.
This has Ubisoft Roller Stars game kind of vibes to me. I know people liked it when they played it at Summer Game Fest. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to play it last year, but I don't know. I'm just like, didn't we already have a bunch of these kind of games already? I'm not talking about Splatoon. I'm just like these kind of fun, sort of wacky multiplayer shooter type things.
This is not a free-to-play game, is it?
It's
$30. Never mind.
PlayStation Plus for I think a month, and then you have to buy it.
Yeah.
Wait. PlayStation Plus, like when you buy it, like you can only play like it's a demo for a month, or is it like every other PlayStation Plus, like when you download it, it's yours?
So if you're a subscriber, you get access to it for the first month. I think until March 4th. Don't quote me on that. I know that there's an expiry date in the beginning of March, and then you essentially have to buy it, as far as I know.
Wow. Okay.
I could be totally wrong. Maybe I'm misreading the communication there, but that's how I interpreted it.
It says it right here, PlayStation Plus February monthly. So anyone with an active PlayStation Plus subscription can get it and play the game at no additional cost. Everyone is welcome. Foam Stars will be available for purchase $30 from March 5th.
Oh, okay,
you have to claim it within that period, and then
okay,
you have to claim it. Yeah, okay. That's what it sounds like. Okay, because that would have been really shitty if you basically could play for a month, and they're like, "Spike, you got to pay for it now."
Yeah. After that was Dave the Diver coming out to PlayStation 5, featuring Godzilla, May 2024.
Godzilla,
hell
to the king, baby.
Godzilla's on
that
tour.
That was crazy. That was pretty crazy.
That was cool.
Good guess.
And it makes sense. It just makes sense. Like,
you know what? I would have actually been like, I think you'll say, oh, it's kind of a perfect sort of like, collaboration. I think imagine if they put Godzilla into Dredge.
Sure. I can see that.
That would have been dope. But anyway, hey, Dave the Diver with Godzilla, that actually might actually get me interested in playing the game.
After that was V Rising. They didn't really show new content here, but Sammy, did you see anything new?
There is definitely, I haven't played it since the giant update, so those could definitely already be on PC, but it's a solid game. Yeah. I definitely think everyone should play that on PS as well.
Especially with now, like, there's a new, like, resurgence of, like, building type of games. This one fits right in, honestly. You have to build, like, your own home base and everything, and basically go out
hunt down bosses. Yeah.
And, like, you're a vampire, so you need blood as well, but stay out of the sun as well, so...
Another game you could steal humans.
Yeah, you steal humans in this game too. Not wrong.
That's the best part.
That's the best part. Not wrong.
What the Fuck.
Good callback.
After that was Silent Hill, the short message, available now, free on PlayStation 5. This was a big surprise because it gave out very PT vibes. Anyone want to take this rating? Go right ahead.
They just ripped PT. I don't know what to say. They just ripped it.
They enhanced it.
No, they didn't enhance it. Kojima's the only one that could enhance that game to make it great.
Thank you.
But as soon as I saw that
Silent Hill is doing a PT and then Kojima made PT.
No, I mean, like, they had great, like, it would have been a smart business move if they didn't use something from PT to create something for Silent Hill, because it was such a success. Yeah. It's just very interesting that it's like, as they had to open up I think they could have cut their trailer a bit better so we're not getting distinct PT vibes right off the top, but as soon as you see that hallway and then as soon as you see the ghost, it's like, I'm playing PT, and then it's on repeat. And this person keeps it. It's the, I think, idea of PT. Maybe it was so far done when Kojima left that they're like, we have to do something with this. We invested so much money into this project. It doesn't make sense. I just think it would have made sense maybe to build this out into like a subsection of a bigger game instead of just releasing.
But here's the thing, though. Kojima doesn't own the concept of a ghost in behind a door and at the end of the hallway.
He did PT as a repetitive playthrough, that was historical and like groundbreaking for the game industry.
But like, you kind of make it seem as if like this is literally just a PT knockoff, and it's like, I don't know.
I'll give you a perfect example. We gotta play it. In Returnal, there was go back to the trailers. There was a section where it transfers into first person. And you're walking down a hallway. Go into every single comment at that point, and everyone's like, "That's PT." PT exactly. is uniquely a hallway with a spooky ghost, and that's it. Like it's this minimalist version of what horror can be. And I totally agree with you, Camille. I'm not basing my judgments on the final product off this trailer. Because I think that's unfair. I will say that I just didn't really like the trailer only because it removed all that mystique and that almost magic that PT had, where PT came out and no one knew what it was. You look at this and you're like, oh, I know exactly what it is. It's PT. You have the hallway. Like, it wasn't spooky.
It wasn't spooky because it didn't remove the magic. Like, PT captured a very specific magic in the horror genre. You didn't see the ghosts. You had no idea what to do in that space, right?
Okay, well, hold on.
Let me finish. It's very ominous, right? I think what it was not stealing the magic. I think it was not a smart move to try to make this stand out as something that people will want to play separate from PT, like just automatically comparing it to PT. And it is the company that PT was created under. So it's like you're immediately putting up this game that obviously we cannot judge because we haven't played it yet, but you're immediately putting it into a discussion of, I'm thinking PT, I'm going to compare it to PT. And that is like, that's a lot to compare it to. I don't think that's fair for the developers.
But that's the thing, though. You're basing a gameplay experience that you actually like physically immersed yourself into based on a trailer. You're kind of misjudging it in a way that it's like, oh, it's PT. I'm not gonna, like, yeah, I've been there, done that. I don't know.
I'm still gonna play it, but I don't think it was smart of them to edit that trailer in that respect. I think it was smart.
Good. I think it was smart because they want to be able to get the people that like, oh, this is PT. Hell yeah, I want to play this. That's exactly what they were going for. Fair.
I'll take. It's kind of like a drug. Like, I've been chasing the PT high forever. I'll take any little scrap of that I can. So I'm super excited for that.
But at that point, is it just we haven't played? But at that point, depending on how this game plays, it could just be seen as like a money grab.
That's true. I think that's what they set themselves up for. Like on the negative side is they set the expectations so high.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that it is a fair or a stretch comparison. I think you can see this, draw the comparison, what have you. But at the end of the day, if you play this game, you're like, well, I still like PT better. I think that's a bold and risky move for Konami to be like, we're going to double down on this beloved demo and now just base an entire game off of that without the creator and the talent behind it as well. We don't have, you know, Norm Reedus or Del Toro. Yeah, exactly.
Guillermo Del Toro. Yeah. And maybe that's their point, Steve. Like, maybe it's like, hey, we spent so much money on that project. We still have these assets.
Yeah.
Let's just see what money we could get back from it.
Yeah, and I guess at the end of the day, we're all just going to base our opinion on the final product. I think it being free to play is a very smart move. Again, I just think that's a bold decision to kind of put that on the forefront. Like, here's our very first look of the game. But hey, I'm excited to play it. I want to try it.
moving on to Silent Hill 2. We didn't get a release date for that one, did we? No. That
was just a wish list now.
Just a wish list, yeah. Looks good, though.
It looks good. It looks like it's done. Like, I feel like they should have just been like, and out now.
I kind of feel the same way as well, actually. But we just have to wait for that. And then there was Judas right after that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think, and we saw quite a few, like, this kind of encompasses a lot of the trailers we saw. There were a lot of, like, wishlist now and no actual release date. I think it's just that a lot of studios are very gun-shy about announcing a date and thinking, and with the potential that it could be delayed. So I think it's, in regards to Silent Hill 2 and any of the other games, they're like, yeah, we got something, but we can't commit to a date right now until we know we're ready. So
yeah. That's fair.
Judas... latest BioShock
game. Still don't know what this game is about.
It's basically BioShock, but it's fancier now. I mean, look,
it looks good.
It looks good. It looks really good.
BioShock in space.
Right, yeah. Basically, yeah. And like, I remember,
I like BioShock. I like space.
Yeah, like I had the girl with her arm was being printed, and I was like, oh, that looks pretty sick and everything, and. It's just pretty, I would say. It's very pretty.
So there is a PlayStation blog post up written by Ken Levine, actually. And just a little snippet here. It does give a little bit of background information into the game. He says, in Judas, we give you a whole new world to explore, the corridors of the Mayflower, spacefaring city whose citizens are trained to spy on one another and tear each other apart for the slightest offense. Where machines control every aspect of business, art, and government, the ship's leaders try to turn you into something you're not, a model citizen. And you're sparked, and you sparked a devastating revolution to tear it all down. So, BioShock in space.
The only issue I have, which I'm like, great, I think this is kind of coming up on We Happy Few vibes, where it's like, it looks really cool, really pretty. Will it play really great? I want it to this to be like great, like play better than BioShock because that's very dated. And I want the story to be banging. Like, I want it to be so great, but I feel like we may be seeing too much of just the same type of trailer over and over again. That then when you hop in the game, you're like, oh, this isn't quite what I expected.
Yeah,
I don't know. I get BioShock vibes. I see, you know, like the plasma in one hand, the gun in the other hand. Yeah. Some nice traversal that you don't necessarily see in a BioShock game. BioShock is very boots on the ground, like you barely can move, other than the grab, like the hook in Infinite. But I totally see where you're coming from with the gameplay. I have all the faith in the world about the story, though. Ken Levine. Yeah. In any kind of story element, that's gonna be really something special.
Yeah, I do see the We Happy Few vibes of the whole scenario, the whole like scenery and everything as well. So it could be like the two like and merging together, and here's our child now. You know, here's Judas. So yeah, another wish list game, and now you finally have a reason to pick up your PSVR because Metroid Awakening VR is on its way.
Metroid.
We've been wanting that Metroid game.
I do want Metroid as well now. Sorry, Metro Awakening. Thank you.
Nintendo's up next, probably.
I hope so. Anyone want to take this? I don't even know.
This was the one that I was interested in. Like, this looks like that. What potentially, and I'm not saying that this is like this is going to be the case, but this looks like what Half-Life Alyx was to Valve VR. Okay. This is it for the PSVR too. This has that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
That kind of vibe. It seems like a killer app.
It's probably one of the better looking VR games. Like even when the opening scene, I probably said it as a joke, but I was like, wow, that fire actually looks really good. the graphics look really great and everything. So that's why I was
yeah,
really
Marcel and I were like,
yeah, we're like warming up. Like, this fire is nice.
this is a good fire.
All right. Pretty neat.
I love the retro games. They're good.
Yeah, very good. I'm just on the PlayStation blog again, and it says that this is a prequel to 2033, the first game in the series.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
they said that there was like a tagline at the end of the trailer for that.
Oh, was there? I missed that.
Yeah. Okay. I know. I almost missed it too, but then I saw it was a Metro 2033. I was like, oh, okay. So it's probably a prequel then.
All right. And then the one game that it won me over once someone went through a table, and that's literally Legends Tales, because like at first and like the date kind of surprised me a little bit. Is this the Legends Tales game? Because it says later this year, but didn't they say February 8th in the trailer?
Yeah, I think they said it was like next week.
Yeah, I'm on the blog. It says later this year. Would February 8th be considered later this year?
February 8th was Helldivers.
No, but it said February 8th in the trailer.
No, it said it was something that, it was coming out next week.
Yeah, that's why I was
it was a VR title that was coming out next week.
When we saw that's it, so weird. It didn't look ready.
I'm going back to the video.
Yeah.
Maybe the blog.
Was it Legends of, what was it called? Legends of what?
Legendary Tale. But it's basically an RPG multiplayer game as well.
Oh my God, you're right.
Right, it said it in the trailer.
Yeah.
I knew I wasn't going crazy. I was like, "There's no way this because it didn't look ready."
No, the text is clear on screen. Yeah. February 8th, 2024. Yes.
Okay, I thought it was crazy. Maybe coming out February 8th, or maybe coming out later this year.
Yeah, we don't know because the blog doesn't even say it.
Technically, February 8th is later this year.
That is true.
I mean, it's not. Yeah.
Oh,
they're not lying.
They're not lying. Nope. Yep. You're right. Yeah. It runs natively in 90 frames, but that was not 90 frames, so we saw it. And that's why we were like, I felt bad. Like, you watch Metro, and then you see this, you're like, oh, I don't feel bad for you guys that just showed up, because the game didn't look ready yet. So that's why when they said February, I was like, there's no way this game's coming out in February, not like this. But anyone want to take, it is multiplayer as well. There's different dark fantasy dungeons, quests, monster bosses, and different skill trees as well, physics-based fighting. Like, didn't one of them, like, grab someone's head and, like, bashed it or something like that? Like, you're just punching people's heads and everything. Overall, the gameplay looked really interesting. I was pretty surprised by that, but I think that's pretty much it that I can talk about.
It gives me medieval vibes.
I got nothing else for you.
Did you try Myth Force? It looked like a Saturday morning cartoon game, and like it's a first person. It kind of reminded me of that.
I know what you're talking about, but because, I haven't tried.
Even that had like this one had like the Captain America shield and Thor's hammer and everything. I was like, this is just it's Avengers, but fantasy. But that's coming out later this year. We'll see, or next week. We'll find out. Dragon's Dogma 2, March 22nd. I mean, I feel like we've seen everything about this game from Capcom, so that's just another one. As March 22nd is a busy date as well. Anyone want to talk about Dragon's Dogma or anything? Or
it looks cool. I probably won't play it though.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if we got a group from the podcast, I would try it, but I would not do it.
Same. Yeah.
Would you be playing Rise of the Ronin that comes out March 22nd as well?
Definitely.
Absolutely. I may have to dabble.
Yeah.
You might have to dabble. You might have to fit some room.
Hands wet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
it just looks like I think we're all itching for that Tsushima vibe.
Yeah.
So it's like it fills that, but then also the like having access to multiple weapons, because Ghost was very focused on like samurai sword combat, where it's like, this it's like you get guns and you have like it just looks like there's much more to do in combat and probably gonna get me angry with facing some of these bosses, but that's Team Ninja.
Yeah, it was giving me like Ninja Gaiden vibes, but like Tsushima, like a world type of traversal and everything. And if it's anything like Ninja Gaiden, you're going to be dying a lot. So that's for sure. And then that's also competing with Princess Peach that day as well. So
like Peach big day for the gamers.
Peach is a samurai or a ninja mm-hmm. that day too, right? So come on, give Peach a chance. Until Dawn 2024. I'm actually surprised. Like I would have thought this would have been the first game to come to like to PC or something like that. I'm actually quite surprised it's taking this long for this game.
I think they're uniquely setting it up so that it correlates with the movie release.
Oh, that's right. They are doing a movie.
You know?
Could be.
Yeah. I think that's the only reason. It's the Last of Us effect of, hey, we got a movie coming out, player game on the latest console. Don't worry about backwards compatibility. We're selling you a brand new version.
Yeah. 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 So looking forward to that. I feel like everyone has experienced that game. This is the one that kind of kicked off, I feel like, choices you make in games or not everyone will make it type of thing. So, and then the grand finale, I'm not even going to bother. Camille, take it over.
We had FN Death Stranding 2.
All right, that's it. I'm out. Sorry, guys.
All right, that's it. That's all we got to talk about. No, go right ahead.
It is so weird. You have a ventriloquist doll.
Yeah.
BB's back, but it may be Mads Mikkelsen's BB.
Spaceships. Not even giving a little thumbs up. Magic school bus out in the mouth.
Fragile's there, but she's not so fragile anymore.
No.
It also, like, it looks like that they're incorporating like weather events or like something to like nature is going to be playing a bigger part. Like we saw some like avalanche. I think there was an earthquake. Mm-hmm. So like I'm interested in how that would play. Like I think like weather worked really was really interesting in Death Stranding because it definitely changes up how you go through that world as a porter. So I feel like we're gonna have more obstacles dealing with these natural events. But like, man, I still don't understand what it's about, and I'm gonna have to watch this like maybe 5 more times to figure it out, and I'm down for it. Like it's just so beautiful to the eyes that like you cannot look away, and I think that's something that like Kojima does very well. And I know like Steve's probably like, oh my god, stop talking about Kojima, but it's like, how can you not talk about him when you see that trailer?
I think if anything, that trailer just made such a big flex about how that Decima engine can function. I mean, coming off of, you know, the Horizon DLC, that was one of the most gorgeous things I think the PlayStation has ever been able to render. But now we saw some of those shots, like Sam walking in the desert, and then there's the shot with him like in front of the moon. Like Kojima has such a way of cinematography, of creation. Like we talked about it before, he's an auteur. So giving him the freedom to just, you know, expound on whatever kind of story he wants, any kind of gameplay elements he wants, I'm all for it. The one thing that I thought was super interesting and super put all my worries to ease was like this whole concept of like what PlayStation's kind of sequels are in this day and age. You got God of War, Valhalla, Spider-Man 2. They're essentially new games just based in the same settings, like reuse like the same environmental assets and stuff like that. I was very worried with Death Stranding of like how is he going to sell me a game where I have to now cross the USA once again? Yeah. Like, what's that game going to even be? Like, we already established the Strand Network. We've already laid roads. We already did all this stuff. Now to see, like, oh, you're not even, to my knowledge, worried about the US. Like, you're in this transcontinental journey and stuff like that. I'm like, hell yes. Like, put me in different, unique environments. Let me interact with those. I'm all about that. Give me unique vehicles and stuff like that. I'm really interested to see, like, what the, like, moment-to-moment gameplay is if this is still, like, you know, delivery elements in there or anything like that. But beyond all else, I'll say that he is just knocking it out of the park with just weird storytelling. And Troy Baker, son of a gun, like, guy comes in and just steals the show.
With the guitar!
Yep.
That holy was a moly. Sick scene. That was really
that
sick.
Was cool. That was wicked cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could talk about Death Stranding 2 forever, and we won't, because, you know, we do have to dissect it, and I'm probably going to bring it up in another episode in the future. Mm-hmm. But like it was disappointing. I lost my prediction of it coming out this year. But you know, seeing this,
me too.
I'm okay with that. Like I could wait a little bit, because you know my brain needs to prepare for whatever Kojima has in store, and he does have in store a lot for us. Is that ventriloquist a Guillermo del Toro?
I think so. Like him,
right?
Yeah,
I think so.
And the guy with the I don't know, it looked like an SS like captain or whatever at the beginning. That's George Miller.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's why you look familiar. Yeah. Oh, that's dope. That's actually pretty dope.
And then, of course, we saw Ellie Fanning's character as well. And that cat. Now I want a cat. Like, I feel like the cat is going to be taking our hearts away because Lou's not there anymore. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But I just want to understand how this will play into the story, because I think how Death Stranding ended, it could have just ended like that. So... again, Kojima is really an artist at this point. I don't think he would have done a sequel if he didn't feel like it needed a sequel. So I'm hoping it really just gives more, like it just doesn't feel like it was just made as like to be there and to make money.
If I could just say like making Guillermo del Toro like a stop motion puppet is pretty meta. Like it's
fire.
It is. It's so cool.
The other thing I'm super curious about is how much COVID played into this game. And I don't mean that from like a development standpoint. Like Kojima's gone on record to say like he essentially had to rewrite this entire thing because his version of this story was too accurate. And that's something that he's famous for. Like Metal Gear Solid 2 is scary how relevant and on point it is in today's day and age. And so it's like Death Stranding, to be honest, with like, you know, all the seclusion and stuff like that. So I'm very interested to see like how the story is and how it reflects like humanity right now, because he does it in such a weird spot on way.
Why would that change the timeline or fate? Like, thanks a lot, Kojima. You should have kept the original story.
Yeah, and I think more interesting to all the, you know, Death Stranding 2 hype is definitely, like, I think PlayStation's flex of, like, oh, yeah, you thought Death Stranding 2 was just going to be the last Kojima game that you hear of? Well, we're working on this espionage in to really celebrate what started his legacy in gaming, and that's, you know, they're saying it without saying it. It's Metal Gear, right? Like Metal Gear, we know Kojima from, you know, putting your controller down and hearing Psycho Mantis like tell you exactly what to do, right, and to change the plots. Yeah. Like it's crazy to now see Kojima go back to that world. And I know, like, you guys mentioned off the top, like, yeah, you know, like let's just get the next game out first. But I am really excited to hear this, because like we see with OD, it's like more of like horror thriller vibes, and Death Stranding definitely played a lot with that as well. And PT, that was all horror. So it's like, I do want to see how this Kojima that has all this experience behind him would approach an espionage game and what that would look like in the, you know, more modern times. When we see that, I may be 90, but hey, also here for that.
I'm excited. Well, Steve actually flagged that it might be called Fizzin, which was the name under the Columbia Pictures banner.
Such a good.
So that was good on you, Steve, because you said that, and I was like,
Because I saw that there was a sign. I just couldn't tell what it said, and then someone just posted it on Twitter, and I was like, oh, I wonder if this is the name of it. I just did a Google search, and pretty much like a bunch of articles have gone up saying that this might be the name of the game. So who knows? It may, you know, it's Kojima.
Do you think it could be alluding to something?
It could be, or just could be the project name.
Yeah, Kojima said it's the project name in the tweet.
Oh, did he? And that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. It's project name.
The thing is, too, like, this is like just not a game. It is like an experience that like will be a film, will have like music. Is this just like a really artistic way of saying like it's pretty much Death Stranding, like to that level of how you think of a game, it like incorporates cinema? Or is it further? Because like also now I'm just getting kind of blurred on understanding, like, is it going to be more similar to what OD is supposed to be, even though we don't quite know what OD is going to be completely, yeah. right? Yeah. So there's a lot of room for speculation. But it's very interesting. Like, I wonder what his life insurance is. Like, nothing could happen to Kojima in the next 5 to 10 years because there's so many projects that are dependent on him right now.
Knowing him, he probably
loved major studios.
He probably like uploaded himself to the cloud already. Like, he's probably he's probably up there already. You know, the
yeah, servers. Probably.
So, Camille, are you gonna be wearing?
You got the Walt Disney treatment.
Yeah,
I know, right? Yeah. He's in chronostasis. He's just like cryostasis. Sorry, I was like chronostasis. You're not a dinosaur.
Are you going to be dressing up with some gloves on your shoulder there?
I mean, I thought they were just like a really creative way of doing a mask. But then it like lights her cigarette, and I'm like, okay.
And then it was moving the puppet's head. I was like, what's going on here?
Sure.
The wild
mind.
I mean,
hey, if they do things for me, mine as well, probably. Yeah, sure.
Right. And yeah, so I mean, like, overall, it's things we wanted to see from the state of play. Like, and I don't, like, for me, like, if I had to give it like a number, I'll give it like a 7. You know, it was pretty good. But yeah, I don't know if anyone else want to tack on anything on top. Well, anyone who wants to tack on anything to this show.
No, the
Gmail. Yeah, just
my cat here. Yeah, he definitely wanted to chime in on Death Stranding. Yeah, no, yeah. I just wanted to kind of.
There's another cat. My cat just woke up as well too, actually. So.
I just kind of wanted to bounce off what Riley was saying before of like all these like legacy IPs that are kind of lying dormant. Mm-hmm. It's not even just legacy IPs that PlayStation isn't talking about. It's any of their first party. And everything shown today is second party and third party, and I think it's becoming very not concerning by any stretch of the imagination.
Death Stranding, but yeah, that's a third party studio.
Yeah, it's just
Team Ninja is.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'll say like because I think Team Ninja is sort of has the same kind of deal as like Bungie, where it's they're still an independent studio, but they're kind of under the PlayStation Studios umbrella. So yeah, but you're right, 100%. Like there hasn't been like a true first party game announced since really Spider-Man. At least that's the most recent one.
Yeah, so
they've been going through issues too in terms of they've canceled like half of the live service projects these teams were working on. I'm ready for like then I want to be excited for the next big first party game from them.
Yeah, I just want something just them to talk about any of their first party projects, but otherwise,
I think that might have been like some of the stuff that unfortunately was revealed in those Insomniac leaks. I think that was slated to be like some like their next first party big hit, give them a little bit of breather while they, you know, kind of start or continue to develop their other IPs. Like, I know everyone was really hoping to hear something from Naughty Dog. We didn't hear anything. I feel like if we didn't hear anything yet, do we think we're going to hear anything for the year for first party? I don't think
anything, it would be June at Summer Game Fest if there is anything. Because I'm thinking the same thing with Sony Santa Monica too. Because like, yeah, we have obviously with Valhalla being released, and that's what they've been working on. But from Naughty Dog had The Last of Us 2 remastered with No Return. But from my understanding, at least from the knowledge that I have of at least of those two studios, that those two projects were kind of like run by the junior team, basically, like or like kind of like first time developers or like a separate team within the studios. So like, because right now, because the current rumor is at least for Sony Santa Monica, that Corey Barlog might be working on a sci-fi game, and that's what he's been working on this whole time. So, so we don't know, but we don't know that yet. And Naughty Dog, we don't know. Okay, are they steering towards Last of Us 3 or an original IP that's been rumored for a while? But yeah, I mean, we also don't know anything about what's Guerrilla's next project. They just finished Burning Shores, and we haven't heard about what they're working on other than maybe the potential multiplayer game. But who knows if that's what's there on the next horizon. Or is that, or are we talking like another IP? I don't know.
Yeah. Are you surprised that there's no Spider-Man?
Like, yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. I was like, what bad timing for that.
Yeah,
Sony
like, why would
post?
You tease that?
Like, why would you do that? Why would you?
I feel like they could have waited a day. Yeah.
It could, like, I think it was just a bad marketing and communications. Like, Sony is usually really tight on that stuff. But to put something out, even though it's Sony Pictures or, you know, like it's not PlayStation, you wouldn't really want to set up false expectations. And I think, you know, that's kind of what I
have. I don't think that they set up any expectations. It's like it, Sony can do whatever the heck they want. And I don't think it's like bad timing of just Sony will produce, because they produced this creator on a creator series before with The Last of Us. And so like it's literally in the trailer. It's just a table that says creator on creator. I think it's it's Spider-Verse versus with the Insomniac team, and I don't think that and they didn't announce anything in The Last of Us. Like the precedent that they set with those is that it's just a fun conversation, and I expected zero from Insomniac about that.
I thought it was
people look into it when they want to look into it.
I used to work at comms and PR, and it's like you don't usually stay away from any. Usually play extra safe. You know, but you're right. Like it's clearly in the tweet, like what it is. I was just hoping for a little bit of a stretch there, and they were.
I mean, and I think too, like PlayStation didn't share that one in particular, which I flagged and I was like, that there's a reason they're not, and they're either trying to downplay it or they don't want to give people the wrong idea on this front. That said, I'm sure they could have waited 24 hours because
that was like a tweet.
No,
that was scheduled last month.
People are going to read into it.
That was a tweet that was scheduled last month, and they're like, "Oh shoot, the state of play. Well, it's already gone out. Like, what can we do?"
Maybe they'll use it during that. Maybe, who knows?
So then, I guess we get like hopefully Spider-Man DLC or New Game Plus June.
Well, we're owed for that. Yeah, like that was supposed
to
be
a long time
last year, and then they delayed it, right? So, like, I'm sure we'll get that's something they could just put out a tweet or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. This is out now. Like, the update's out at the end of the week. Yeah. Oh, and also it comes with like a new costume or something if they want to be fun. They want to have to do something for the community.
On my tinfoil hat, this is the last point. Like, if that tweet was scheduled a month ago, okay, or like a while ago. And maybe because of the leaks, it kind of took the Spider-Man team to be like, hey, you know what? Let's hold back on this New Game Plus content. Let's hold back on any extra content. Let's see if we can make it better from what the rumors and like everything has been out there. So we could really give fans an experience that they won't necessarily see fully coming. So maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed.
We'll find out. If not, you'll be waiting until June to hear anything. So
I'll be 90 by then.
Oh my gosh. Well, how about that Suicide Squad? Has anyone played it on the podcast here yet?
I
just started the tutorial.
Okay, yeah, I've been playing it.
Yeah, how many hours you been in?
I'm probably like three.
Three? Okay.
Not super far into it.
TV.
Like an hour. Barely enough to have an opinion on it. Yeah.
Same. Although the tutorial's feeling kind of long.
It is kind of long. I will give you that.
I don't think it's actually long. I think it's just like the excitement to want to play as these characters is like more of the thing that I want rather than go through a tutorial. But I understand. I understand the process.
So I guess besides Caboose, I've played 6 hours of the game last night. And I don't know. I feel like there's a lot missing. I feel like from this game so far, like I'm here for the story 100%. I feel like the story is definitely the story and presentation definitely the strong point of this game. Well, 100%. But I just feel like there's like a lot of things missing, and it just feels empty to me. I don't know. Like I don't know what this game's trying to be. And I'm also trying to figure out a reason. Like after I complete the story, what is my purpose to go back into the game? I feel like once I'm done the story, I'm like, all right, I'm done. Like, I don't. We're like.
I guess the story will be fleshed out with new characters being added and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I guess that you get more story content will be the incentive. But
the additional stories are free, right?
It's the best. Yeah, it's all free. I believe.
Okay. But yeah, besides that, it just feels like pretty empty and. I don't know what I was really expecting from this game, and I was kind of hoping that it would have been kind of more of like the Guardians game, where you can, like, if you were to single player mode, you could swap between. This one you can't even do that, and there's certain enemies where this is one enemy where if you get he's a sniper, if you get too close to him, he will like literally teleport elsewhere. Like he'd be like, nope. He, like I'm on long range. He'll just teleport. He's instantly gone.
And so like, wait, hold on. I only just got through the tutorial. You once you pick a character, that's it. You can't switch out.
So you could like, well, when you're in a mission, you can't swap characters.
Oh,
like outside of the mission, you can.
Outside of mission, you can swap anytime you want. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, but like while you're in a mission, but like there's like hordes of different enemies, and like one of them, like you'll be like, okay, well I'll use Deadshot for this because he has a sniper. He'll be perfect just for me because like the bot is not like you can't even tell the bot like, well, hey, can you focus on this guy then? I'm playing as Harley Quinn, and like I can't like she's using pistols, it's doing like chump change on this person, and like with a you need a sniper, and then you can't even like swap to that. Where I feel like that would like clearly like single player wasn't the mindset of this game. It was always going
to
be.
I was about to say it seems as if like it's yeah. it's just more focused on you got to play a co-op, otherwise you it's to,
yeah
it's not super great single player experience.
Yeah,
it and kind of like. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I haven't got that far yet, but mm-hmm. I was just going to say, like, it kind of seems like that's like an old school type of restriction to have there.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're just stuck with that player for a mission when you're used to, like, if you have multiple players available and you could play as them. I feel like nowadays it's more common to just automatically think that you're able to switch. Like when I saw the trailers, I thought that you could be able to just switch. Mm-hmm. Throughout whenever you want as different characters.
I thought same so too.
Maybe that is like really taxing on the server, and maybe that's why they don't do it.
Well, like it's not even like because there's gonna be an offline mode as well.
True.
And like that still means you can't even do that. Like I'm in a private lobby by myself, and so like and I know the game is online only as well. But you could swap through like right like I had like at one point I had all four characters emoting. I just swapped like through them and just test it out. And it was like instant for me, so I can't see why you can't like swap to someone like, oh, okay, let me just focus on Deadshot, and then I can snipe this enemy who's giving me a problem right now, you know. So I don't know. It's just that's like fair. Yeah, there's definitely like the it wasn't mindset for that, and like presentation and everything else is great, and I also feel like they relied a lot on the Harley hype as well in the story mode. Once you guys go through that, maybe you might have the same opinion or might not. I feel like they're really like relying on her hype just to like carry the story, which I kind of want to learn more about the other characters. It just seems like she's like every 2 seconds she's like saying, "I'm like Carly, please, like I know you're crazy and everything, but like give the other characters like a little spotlight here." Like I feel like she's definitely carrying like the load of this, you know. So I don't know. I'll try to finish the game tonight as well, but I'll see how the rest of it go. But so far, just I don't know. It's meh. kind of thing.
Who,
wait, finish the game, like
the story mode.
How long's the story?
It's not that long. I heard 8 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard like 9-10 hours.
Eight, yeah.
That seems
I think I'm actually like already past the halfway point after playing 6 hours and oh that's
wait,
another
what? I feel like that should be more time.
Yeah.
And like I was, and like this is me like going at my like slow pace and everything. Like I, because you do see like certain things as well. Like there's a Batman scene. That scene's awesome, 100%. Great scene. I don't want to even like spoil it for you guys or anything. But when you're there, you're like I like feel free to write it in our chat. And be like, holy crap, that was like that's it. You know, it was cool. I feel like the game was showing some good variety after that, but then after that, it's just like, all right, go to that building at the top of the map right now. There's no, like, fast travel or anything. You literally have to swing from rooftop to rooftop, and, like, there'll be enemies spawning randomly. Half of the times, they don't even, like, know you're there. I literally stood in front of an enemy right in front of him, and he didn't even do anything. I'm like, oh, okay, and I shot him in the back, and he's like, ow, stop that, and just, like, kept on looking on the ground and everything. I'm like, what are you, like, shoot me? Like, what are you doing? And, like, it's just, I don't know, it's just, like, there's a lot of traversal and, like stuff that you don't have to do. And then every time you finish a mission, you get, like, there's a big old cutscene that plays, and, for nothing, really. Just to be like, you got this one gun that's actually not even better than the gun you have right now. I'm like, well, why'd you even, like, what is this? And then there'll be, like, one traversal, you'll go over and, like, go to this mission now, and then you're it's literally like another cutscene just to talk to someone, and that was the mission. I was like, for like 2 seconds, and that was it. It's like, this big like splash, and like you're a number one player, because there's also like a leaderboard as well in the game. So like, you're number one player, and I'm like, yes, I'm always number one player. I'm playing by myself, like, of course, like. If I was not number one, I'll be questioning things. I'm like, why am I second? I don't get it. Like, you know, like.
Well, I just looked it up. Apparently, the story, like you said, is like 9 to 10 hours. Yeah. But like with the side missions, it's supposed to be like 20, and like a completionist run is 20 to 30.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
A lot of those missions are the same. Like, you're on a rooftop. Like, the same tutorial you were doing. Shooting and jumping off platform, it is there's a lot of that. I would say, like,
I'm sorry, but when half of the game is side content. Yeah. That's not great. I can understand, okay, maybe if there's not a lot of side content, like maybe like 4 or 5 hours of it, I can see it like pushing from like a 9 to 10 hour short, like a storyline, to like 15. I'm like, okay. I can see that, but like literally half the time is basically for side quests like that. You really have to sell me on the side quests in order for me to be able to be excited to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Most often in games, I usually kind of avoid the side quests unless I'm like, I'm really into it. Like Spider-Man has some great side quests, but with like, it makes you want to be able to do it. In games like this, I'm just going to be focusing on the story, and that's
that. It has to convince you, like, while you're playing, like, oh, actually, I want more of this. I get what you're saying, because I like that, too. I usually, like, play stories or play games for the story. If it's, like, more open world, even, like, something like Tears of the Kingdom, I usually start with playing the story, and then, like, throughout that world, thing points that interest me, I find myself...
side quests,
Yeah.
We know that's our game of the year.
It is our game. It's just perfect. But some games can't be perfect, but they could be okay. Like, think of Senua's Sacrifice, right? 8-hour game, right? Main story. Really good story. Suicide Squad probably won't live up story wise to
that. So I want to counter that, because when it comes to like a game like Senua's Saga, where it's like 8 hours. That's a whole experience right there. Like, that you're playing it from beginning to end. It's like, yeah, there might be some side things here and there, but you're pretty much like completing at least 95% of the game in that 8 to 10 hours. In this, when you have to have like half the, like basically an extra 10 hours of side content, you're not playing the full experience if you're just playing the game. Like, if that, like, I'm all for short games. I'm all for, like, you know, give me those kind of short experiences, because that can last a little bit longer than the 70 to 80 hour little RPG kind of slogs, but it just seems that they focus more on the gameplay of this than they did the story, even though Rocksteady's storytelling is so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we appreciate the Arkham series so much, because it revolutionized superhero games. Superhero games before the Arkham series was terrible. There was no... Yeah. You could argue like maybe one or two might be good, but majority of them were all bad. The Arkham series was the first time we actually be like, oh, this is what it means to be have a superhero game. And Rocksteady revolutionized that. It just seems that in this one, their storytelling's great, but maybe it's just the gameplay kind of far outweighed the story. And there's not a lot of compelling gameplay that I've been seeing and playing that's going to want to keep me going for another 10 hours.
Do you think, and like, I know, like, you know, we're all pretty quiet here on this topic because, like, we haven't put so much time in it to, like, generate, like, a full opinion. So, like, this is just, like, first impressions kind of thing. But do you think this may be, like, I think back to Avengers game. That was, like, a service game, right? Do you think it's because of that? And, like, I know this is not service, but it is, but they're not saying service. Do you think it was like, hey, this was supposed to be like fully live service marketed that way, and to have like the short story with content coming out, and then kind of rolled it back?
It's kind of funny. It's kind of funny how they mentioned they didn't want to be like Avengers, but in a way they're everything they're doing is
kind of are.
It's going towards that. Like, you have your story, then like you have your things afterwards, and like the same looting that you had to go to get different weapons and everything. I'm like, well, that's just Avengers. What are you talking about?
You're just playing Avengers, buddy.
Yeah, you're just playing Avengers.
I think in a way, at least with Avengers, they were really kind of hyping up like the the different missions aspect. Like you basically get to choose, you kind of like your Avengers to the war room, and you get to kind of choose everything. And to like, they were kind of advertising like that's kind of the compelling portion of the game. And then people were surprised at how good the single player campaign was. Like that in some cases, including me, I thought that was kind of the best part of that game was the single player campaign. But with this, it just seems that they kind of thrown everything like in the kitchen sink at it. And I don't know, like I'd be willing to, you're right that like, we haven't really played a lot of it just as of yet. But to me, it's just like from what I've been seeing from other people who've been playing it, I think people have been enjoying the story. It is fun to a degree, but I'm not going to spend 20 hours in this. I'll do it myself. Basically, I'm just going to play the story and then that's kind of it. And then, hey, if it's a good 8 to 10 hour experience, then awesome. Good job. But if it's going to, even the side quest is like not going to be compelling, then like I can definitely see why people would be upset by it. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with say like a 7 out of 10 game, which seems to be kind of potentially this might actually end up maybe even potentially a 6. There's nothing wrong with that. But it just makes me think, okay, if this is what they could be able to produce, like, because how long Rocksteady's been working on this? Like 8 years at this point?
9 years.
9 years.
9 years since Arkham Knight. I'm like, what did they do in that time? Like,
but that's what I'm saying. I feel like this was supposed to be marketed more as a full live service game with all of that time in development, the flack that live service games had, the unfortunate flop of Avengers and the live service portion of that game. It's like they kind of backtracked and was like, hey, so like, let's not market like that. Let's not do that. And like, although we have those features and like, maybe that is like, maybe it will happen, that it will become more of that. But I really do think based off how like your experiences are so far, Marcel, in the game, like, no way you go into creating a Suicide Squad game to only be 8 hours in campaign you have an all-star cast of voice actors.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I need to know, does Brainiac sound like Lucius Malfoy yelling at you, or does he throw his voice a little bit for the character?
6 hours in, I haven't even seen
Brainiac. Oh, okay, Brainiac. Okay.
You haven't even heard Brainiac speak yet?
No. There's two people I haven't heard yet. It's him and
that's wild,
and us and Superman. Jeez. Actually, no, that's a lie. I heard Superman already because of the Hall of Justice. So
the Hall of Justice, yeah, you can interact with him.
Interact with all the little cuts, with the
that's a part of watching
the
play
the holograms you see.
See, that part is like that's just good side content that I would totally love to do. I love to go through the Justice League Museum.
That's the thing. There's a lot of great lore in the game, and I'm like, well, why didn't we get like a Justice League game before this? You know, like there's so much detail in those other areas as well.
You bring up a very good point. Would this game be better if we had a Justice game first? Because imagine it. We had a Justice like. Imagine this. We had a Justice League game where at the end of the game, Brainiac takes over.
Yeah.
And that's the cliffhanger. And then the next game of sequel is the Suicide Squad has to now kill the Justice League. How cool would that be? Yeah. Like, that's a cool twist that hasn't been done in a sequel. I would love to be able to see that.
Because, like, but I don't even, like, I don't know.
Wait, to your point, does that fix the gameplay at that point?
I don't know. I think maybe they could have fleshed it out a little bit better with the Justice League game. I think if they had a game in between, maybe, but
I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Like, I think narratively, like you'd be more invested in the characters that are, you know, living or dying in that sort of, if we had that build up prior. But I do think, like, for what it is and everything like that, like, it is kind of cool because like it does carry on from the villains that were introduced in Arkham Asylum and all that stuff. So there's a lot of that content where you know, if you're a fan who played through the Batman Arkham series, like, there are references to like all of those characters kind of scattered about, and maybe some of them show up. So stuff like that is like I really appreciate that element of the shared universe where they do kind of dip their toes into what has happened prior and everything that's happened to Batman since then and all that stuff. So, and in terms of gameplay and story, like I'm enjoying it, but I'm definitely looking forward to playing more.
So pretend that the side stuff doesn't exist and you only had like that 8 hours of story and gameplay. is that contained experience like good so far for in your guys's experience of playing? Like, are you enjoying at least that, even though it is short?
I'm erasing Marcel like with his so making his face.
The reason why is because the traversal is like, it's so mediocre. Like you'll have to go all the way across. You're literally swinging across, and then you have that cooldown. So you're doing, like, for Harley Quinn, you're doing swing, and then, like, she drops down, and then you just swing, and you get, like, just get me to the other side of the next cutscene at this point, you know, like, or, like, because you can't select different missions. Like, there's even one mission where, like, you go try to fight someone, and then the game, and then clearly you're not ready for that. But, like, they didn't even give you a chance to show you, like, hey, you got your ass whooped, you're not ready for this. The game is like, eh, you're not ready for this smoke. I'm like, well, how do you know? Like, I could have figured it out, you know? But, like, if not, don't even show me that mission. Just let me see the next cutscene. Like, why am I swinging across? And they just want you to, like, swing across to from rooftop to rooftop so you can, like, fight enemies that some of them ignore you. And then, or just, like, I don't know. It's just, I feel like they were just buying time to the next scene, you know? Like, it's not needed.
So are you saying, like, there's no, like, in your opinion, I don't care about fast travel, like, especially when you have a game like Spider-Man. I know it's, like, a bit different because traversing is so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're able to do tricks. You have so much variety of, like, how you could swing.
Yeah, but
you
Spider-Man could dive, consistently swings, while this one, you're hitting the ground at some point.
So is it that you're hitting the ground, or it's like there's not like that like more stylized way of traversing, if that makes sense, like more variety in like how you traverse?
Think of Spider-Man as the Porsche and you're driving a lemon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Like, you're like Spider-Man, you can do all these tricks. You have the wingsuit, you're flying all across like nothing. Like, you feel like you're Superman. And that in a game that has Superman, you can't even get a, like, the jetpack you have is like malfunctioning half the time. Like, it's faulting through because it doesn't, like, it only carries so much gas. And I don't know what's going on with that jetpack. So
that's been my biggest issue so far, has basically been the traversal. I can't seem to get a lock on it. It's not as smooth.
That's not
as
fluid. Yeah, it's not fluid.
It's not smooth as like swinging through New York or, you know, grappling hooking across Gotham City. Like, it doesn't feel right. It just, no matter how many times I try, especially because I've now done the tutorial twice, if you count the closed alpha that I did back in November, and I still can't get it right. I'm still constantly falling, and it doesn't seem like it's a fault of my own. It just seems like it's not enough time for you to be able to do it properly and smooth. That there's like, it's almost like there's no point. Like, I've yet to figure out which character I can choose, because all the, like, other than maybe King Shark, at least then it's like he's got some pretty good jumps, but. Yeah. Beyond that, everyone else is just kind of like, it's just, you're right. It's like, it's almost like everything is faulty.
Yeah.
It's almost like skill-based traversal.
Yeah.
Which is like difficult. It's difficult.
Forest
like,
parkour.
It is much more difficult. Yeah. It is.
Forest parkour.
So stiff. Yep. It feels like really stiff. Yeah.
So, but like story, I'm intrigued in the story. Presentation, absolutely, like the face expressions and, like, even like how like this, like someone's talking, like a face reaction, like crinkle, like it's the outstanding, hands down. The homage to like the previous games as well is definitely there as well, and like there's different lores, all that stuff is great, but like overall, I just feel like after that, it's just literally off a cliff. Sadly, I don't know.
So yeah, I'm in for the
maybe,
story.
Maybe something at the end might change that, but I don't know. So
we'll see.
Yeah. I haven't killed anyone yet, so.
So no Justice League killing for you, God.
No, not in my timeline, no.
right.
After that, we would like to settle our condolences to everyone who's been affected with any of the layoffs. And there was one today, I think, or.
Yeah, there was some at GameSpot.
Or the rumor.
GameSpot and Sega, I saw today.
Yeah, and even. Probably even potentially,
oh, wait, GameSpot as well? I did not see that one.
Yeah. I saw a friend of mine post that she was safe, that she's staying at GameSpot, but apparently there was layoffs today. I don't know who was affected, if the but yeah, as far as I know, that happened today too.
And apparently something might even come up with Ubisoft, like kind of restructuring as well down the road, because I think they're like the sixth biggest gaming company, like now on the list from that, so
yeah.
maybe down the road.
And they've only done like 120 layoffs, I think.
And they're mostly, I think, Montreal for that too, right?
Yeah. So as of 31 days, 6,100 plus have been laid out. I don't know. I have no words. That's crazy.
Man.
That is
crazy. And it's like, yeah. Sorry, gross. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah.
V, you were going to talk?
Oh, you just said gross.
No, I was just saying it was gross and yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like a real reflection. Like, I'm getting tired of talking about these layoffs and I'm tired that they're happening because it's so frequent. Like, I understand, you know, it's been a tough time in tech and in gaming, even though they're making a lot of money still. I think, like, the result of this, especially, well, specifically in gaming and game devs, has to do with the structure of how game devs work. Like, it's per project based, how they're hired. Well, not how they're hired, but usually, like, how their teams work. And unfortunately, that, like, you know, working on a project, then it being laid off to then find another studio to work on a project for, then be laid off, like that is so old and tiresome. Like, it is so much better to just nurture your talent, to work on multiple projects, and like that just is the standard for the whole dev team, rather than, and like, yes, you have some studios that do that, but the majority of how, like, you know, speaking to my dev friends and how it is structured, it's just unsustainable, and we've hit that breaking point, and you're seeing that so much now. And I hope this just triggers like a movement for like, unionizing devs, something.
Yeah. Elmo, can you save us?
Elmo.
Yeah, come on, Elmo. We need you.
It really did go to show like how much executives just could not have the foresight to see throughout COVID, because so many banked on, oh, this pandemic is going to last forever, which if you ask like any of us or anyone with a brain, everyone would say, no, it's not going to last more than a year or two. And people who are spending so much money on video games, that's not going to last, right? That's not a realistic expectation to have on the market. So why not just sit on what we've already been doing? Like what Camille said, just prioritize investing in our staff, our developers and everything like that. Don't upscale 100% only now to, you know, have to descale and in order to save costs. But yeah, it's just crazy how many executives just could not see the forest through the trees with COVID, and now all the developers are paying for it.
Yeah, it's kind of even like the same thing with like how with the Suicide Squad, for example. I'm sure some executives like, oh, right now it's all about live service. That was like years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's like a delay though of like, you know, to Steve's point, like because of COVID, it's like everyone just thought the world was like stopped, and it did for a lot of us. But unfortunately, our outlooks and perspectives of how we want to play games, what we want to experience, changed significantly out of the pandemic. And it's like, yeah, some games that might have done well pre-pandemic just ain't gonna cut it now. We have a different outlook, you know.
Yeah.
So you know, I think it's weird to me to be like, how could executives and like the people hiring not foresee this to happen? Like, not foresee that the pandemic would eventually end and not have a plan in place there for the people. And really, I think it just comes down to, unfortunately, they didn't care. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, they didn't
care enough to put a plan in place, right?
Yeah. Like, if you're going to scale that drastically during a pandemic, what is the plan, right? Like, I don't know.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
There is no plan, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to end up seeing? Is there's going to be, right now, everything seems hunky-dory. We just came off, like, one of the best years in video game almost in history. Think of the development cycles on all AAA major games right now. They're what, 4 or 5 years? Wait until the end of the 2020s. We are going to see a cataclysmic decline in games coming out, quality, and just viability in the industry. Like, it's going to be massive, and we can all draw back to, oh yeah, that happened because of 2023, 2024, and maybe even 2020. Like, who knows? But the ramifications are crazy.
Yeah. Well, we're at a major pivoting point now, because I think the way content is delivered and consumed is shifting radically. So we're going to see like a lot of, like, for example, part of the layoffs at Blizzard led to one of their new projects, the survival game, being canceled, and then them taking members of that team and dividing it into smaller projects, because that better fits the Game Pass model, which is like new game this month, new game this month, new game this month. So that, like, we're going to see a lot of transitioning there, and like a downscaling of the AAA investments, because it's just so, it is unsustainable. Like, just the scale and the risk involved with something like that, even with a well-known IP like Suicide Squad, or like even like Prince of Persia or something like that. Like, these things are going to change in scale and shape and scope because they have to. And that's the way that content's being consumed now. So we'll still have the big games and stuff like that. And, you know, I think that there's a way forward for contractors and some of the people laid off. But yeah, I mean, it's a real reality check when these things sort of shift right in front of us.
Yeah. Speaking of Prince of Persia, people buy the game. $300K is not enough, by the way.
Yes, please.
Buy the game, for the love of God.
It's so good.
It's so good. Right now, I put it in, like, number one as my game of the year kind of, like, contender right now. Like,
easy, I think, for me, too.
It's so good.
And to the YouTube comments, no, we didn't get paid to say that. It's generally good.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh, it's so good.
Yeah.
I think it's Metroidvanias I've ever played.
I love the YouTube comments.
We're in this weird time. You know, what Riley was saying, it's like media, how we consume media is so different. And I think we have, like, you know, people who have worked in the industry who have seen a lot of games, played a lot of great and terrible games because, you know, of our jobs. And see that treasure because we gave it a chance to be mm-hmm. played. I think the issue with Prince of Persia, not a lot of people were willing to give it a chance in a year or in a time where you had all these big releases and where it's just not trending. And it's like we are consuming trending media. I think the mass like consumers, that is what they're doing. They're consuming trending media. But games are so good right now that even like games that, you know, you wouldn't have given it a second thought turn out to be so great.
Thanks, Pal World.
It's so unfortunate. Everyone's playing
Pal World effect.
I blame Pal World and it's ridiculous. 19 million. Steve of being one of them. I was one of them as well. 19 million, like 12 million on Steam and 7 million on Xbox. That is the third biggest Game Pass game launch ever. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, so. Biggest third party Game Pass launch ever, I think.
Yeah.
It's funny in the gaming industry right now, and at work everyone's like, "Hey Sammy, have you heard about this game called Pal World?" I'm like, "Yes." Yes, indeed, I have.
Who hasn't?
Have you tried it yet, Sammy? Or
no, I'm probably gonna pick it up pretty soon though, because like I just gotta. It's one of those things. I have to play it before Nintendo really comes for it.
Yeah.
So
just watch out for PAL number 69. I'm not even joking. Watch out for that one.
Oh my God! Yes,
you didn't hear about that one.
That one's wild.
That one is.
Oh my God!
That one's insane.
I don't even want to know. I'll find out.
You will find out. Oh, you'll find out. I saw it on the internet. I was like, "What?" I'm glad I stopped playing this.
Why does when Marcel says that, it sounds like a threat? Like, you'll find out.
Because you will find out. Steve knows.
It is a threat.
Steve knows.
That's how people are torturing people by PAL number 69. Yeah.
You know, just out of curiosity, do you think like Ubisoft has like a stink to them when people are like, "Oh, play this game. Who's it by?" Ubisoft, they're like, "Eh, I don't know," you know, type of thing.
I think it's partially because, I mean, it's the reputation that they've had over the past couple of years. Like, they've been trend chasing for so long with NFTs, games of service, battle royales, and
just like Far Cry, oh yeah, it's just another Far Cry. It's just another tower search and discovery, blah blah blah. But
yeah. Or their game's going on sale next week and just came out today. You're like, what? Like,
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's unfortunate because like they were building up really good trust when they were, cause I remember when they were potentially being bought, I can't remember what company that it was. They were like going through like a hostile takeover, and they were like, okay, we got to turn our reputation around and like basically just, you know, keep making more, like more and great games. And they were doing that, and they were gaining a lot of trust within the community with the amount of games that they were putting out, the good quality games. And then somehow they basically just started to kind of keep going into trends, like trend getting, and it's, yeah, it eroded that player's trust. Like you can only like you can only lose a person's trust for so much before they actually be like, no, I don't care anymore. Yeah. And I think they just kind of probably saw that this was like, even though the trailer looks cool, like the marketing looks good, and critically it's acclaimed, like it's a great game, but to a player that like, I think they just sees Ubisoft. And they're like, nah, their games, past games have sucked. I'm going to wait. So.
They can change that around. Steve Saylor, what's going on for you for the rest of the week?
I'm just going to be playing some Suicide Squad. And again, I'm going to maybe hopefully getting some thoughts on that. So don't have a heck of a lot of work going on just because while I'm dog sitting, it's just, you know, I'm very limited in what I can do. So I'll hopefully be able to do something. I might potentially have a new thing coming out soon. It just depends on, you know, when it gets approved / edited. So maybe check some of that. I don't know.
All right.
But follow my socials and you'll find out.
There you go.
There you go.
Is it Spider-Man DLC?
Yeah, is it?
I'll post it the same day as an announcement. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing.
Steve V, how about yourself?
I'm just gonna be poring over this Death Stranding trailer. I gotta rewatch that. I gotta go through all the little details.
Well, what about there's Suicide probably a lot Squad? Hidden in
there. Yeah.
or you can be playing that, you know, that Silent Hill game that are later.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
P2. I'll be playing P2.
P2. Okay. Awesome. Riley, how about yourself?
I feel like now that this is over, it's going to be a little more chill. We have some games coming up and you know, some controllers coming out, which is kind of exciting. Xbox announced a new one today, actually.
Yeah, they look great. So, look really good.
Yeah, and they're all unique, which is kind of interesting because mm-hmm. the way that the vapor hits it changes the pattern on it for each individual one. So each one's kind of like a snowflake, which is kind of neat.
You know, those fat different. Clouds, those fat vape clouds.
Which is funny because I think when the Series X came out, they're like, don't make your Series X vape, but here we are.
Here we are, full circle, baby.
Here we are. No, so like a lot of stuff coming out. It's February is going to be crazy. Yeah. And there's even more software coming out, and then I guess we wait for Nintendo's next presentation, whenever that might be.
Are they having the Direct in February? Looking at you.
Historically, they have for like the past 5 years.
You blinked. I'll take it.
Like early March. One was like early March. So
okay.
So we're due. We're due for something from that.
Yeah, like next week, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like probably not next week. Do you think next week?
I don't know.
What do you think?
I don't know.
I feel like it's usually like
mid-Feb.
Yeah, that's what I was. I've been usually like Feb. 11th, 13th, 4th. They like to play in the teens, you know?
Historically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it just depends. I have no idea what their plans are. So
what?
I'm hoping we see more soon.
What does Nintendo like to play with, Camille?
Oh my god, okay, no, stop. Oh my god. Soon as I saw your face, Steve, I was like, I shouldn't have said anything.
Okay, alright, we'll keep that in the back pocket, alright, Marcel?
Camille is best friends with Doug Bowser. He follows her, so Camille?
Yeah, he does, but I'm not best friends with him. Please don't let him hate me.
Just like good friends.
Yeah. Alright, Camille, what is going on for you this week? Setting up for any directs you're going to be showing up in?
Man, to show up in a direct, imagine, that would be crazy. I just like had to sneak in there and then they'd have to like get me out of the building. But anyways, no, I am not going to be in any directs, but I'm going to be mending my back. I hurt my back
really
badly. I wasn't able to walk for quite some time. So I'm now walking. I have a cane and I'm going to be focusing on mending my back. I think like, you know, for everyone listening, for y'all, everyone I care about, just pay attention to your body when it tells you to slow down and try not to push through it, because it usually catches up to you. And that's what I did. So I'm going to listen to my body and take a step back.
Good idea. Yeah. And I hope you feel better soon.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get some icy hot from Shaq. I heard it feels really good, though. For me, I'm going to finish Suicide Squad, and I'm also reviewing Another Code, which was published by Nintendo, and a game I always wanted to play when it came out on DS, because it was like one of those games that I'm like, wow, it looks really cool on a DS when it came out. And it's really, it's so far really neat. I never realized it was actually published by Nintendo, but those are the two I'm working on right now, and we'll see if there's any directs next week. Thanks to Riley. But you didn't hear.
Thanks, Riley.
Thanks, Riley.
Does everyone say thanks, Riley? Thanks, Riley.
We appreciate you, Riley.
Riley, blink by the end of this recording to let us know the directs are.
Now keep the recording going for another 10 minutes.
We'll wait.
All right, let's see how this goes.
We can wait.
That's a great content. Yeah.
Damn, look at this. Oh,
you really want to blink.
Oh, you so want to blink.
You really want to blink so badly.
So badly.
Think of the light from the screen just hitting his eyeballs and like just making it so. Yeah, it's just like, ooh.
Just think about those Elgato lights, you know? So you could have.
Yeah. You know what? Now it's cheap. I look
cheap. They're weak.
Oh my god, he's a
really impressive. This is so good.
This is actually pretty good. Riley,
are you okay?
Please
tell us if you're okay.
Are you still there? Yes.
You have been hilarious. This cam Riley, just froze the entire time.
Oh, really? Riley, just tell us again.
How have you not blinked?
What were you doing the next few days? What were you doing?
I'm working away. This hurts so bad.
Yeah, keep telling
my
us.
My eyes are watering up.
What now. Are you working on?
You probably should
what
just blink on? At this point.
Yeah, just blink now.
Just blink.
You could just blink, yeah.
Yeah.
Just blink and we can end the show.
Oh, no!
There it is. Confirmed.
I didn't blink.
Oh, what happened? Oh, yeah. Oh, time. All right, we'll see you all next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.